Welcome back, people. It's Chris Angel and Aaron Hendon, or as I like to say, Geppetto.
Geppetto, the AI Geppetto.
Yes, I mean, Geppetto, we'll have to save that inside reference for later. But I had this picture, Aaron, of Bryan Cranston in, crap, what was the show?
Breaking Bad.
Yeah, thank you. In Breaking Bad, where he says, let's cook, because we have a cooking metaphor for you today.
Oh, yeah, let's cook. And we
let's
both
cook.
I am. If I had a little pork pie hat, I could be Walter White.
Let's cook, man. Maybe you can set up the cooking metaphor here, which I love, by the way. It's so great. Like, just what showed up for you? Because I, and then we can talk about why it matters. But
yeah, yeah. All right. So, yeah, I think the context before we get to the cooking. So the cooking is sort of the lead in, right? It's the hook.
Yeah.
Now you have to listen to the whole episode to find out what we're cooking. Because it could be meth. You don't know.
You don't know.
You don't know. It's the, it starts with the thing I came today to share with Chris was the power of dwelling in something long enough with enough intention, but no force for something to arise experientially. For an insight to arise, not a concept, not just a random thought, but to have the actual experience of what it is I was questioning to show up. So let's get it so that it's clear, you know. But that's the point, is that the power of dwell.
Well, wait, let me, I'm so present to what you're saying right now. So the, if I can just say, like, the way it is now, if I look out in the world, the way it is now, the way it was for me is for me most of the time, is I'm not patient enough to dwell in something long enough for something to show up. I'm constantly trying to push it, move it, needle it, hustle it, right?
Figure
Adjust
it.
What's that?
Figure it out.
Figure it out. Yeah. Like our ability to be patient is, it's not non-existent. It just is. It's not the pattern. The pattern I think most of us deal with, even those of us interested in mindfulness.
Yeah.
It's, how do I move this?
Yeah. How do I get to the answer so that I can move on, so I can do something with it? And all of that is trappings of the container of hustle culture.
Yeah. Beautiful.
You know, what Jeff would call the force field, but it's all inside that world. And there's very little structure, containers, spaces that we have, which is why I like talking to you every week, Chris, because you and I have created this container for us to, you know, what we've deemed coddywompling, but there's this aspect of dwelling in it until something shows up. So here's what I have been wondering about, and this isn't news for the five people that have listened to the show.
Ten, we're up to
10 now, right? Sorry, we've doubled. You know, how are appreciation and gratitude linked? How are they connected? What's the difference between the two? Or is appreciation just a different form of gratitude? Is it a pathway to gratitude? You know, Esther Hicks is pretty clear, and we're both big woo-woo Esther Hicks people, that appreciation is the highest, you know, love is the highest vibration, and appreciation is where you want to dwell. That gratitude tends to fall into a category of is referencing a less than phenomenon, the absence, the lack of something. That gratitude tends to reference that. And so appreciation is the vibration of attraction. And Joe Dispenza says something else. Also, big Joe Dispenza fan. So now that gratitude is the ultimate point of attraction is a Joe Dispenza thing. So now we have Esther Hicks and Joe Dispenza battling it out in a battle, which I would definitely pay to see.
Yeah. It's appreciation. No, it's gratitude. No, it's appreciation.
Chair. Joe picks up a chair. And at the same time, I am fairly confident that they're talking about the exact same thing. I just find it very difficult to imagine that Joe Dispenza and Abraham Hicks are talking about radically different things when they talk about the law of attraction. I just find no other evidence than this one area of the difference between appreciation and gratitude. And in my desire to get it right.
Yeah.
I'm like, well, what is the problem here? What are we really talking about? What is appreciation and what is gratitude and how are they different? And what's the difference between them? And is one a lower vibration? And
Yeah.
I've had this question now for several months. And
Dwelling in it, just dwelling in it.
Dwelling in it, like writing about it. I have blog, you know, if you go to my blog, you can see it. I've been really interested in, I'm writing a book in essay form at this moment, called, you know, The Gratitude Paradox, How to Live a Grateful Life in a Fucked Up World. And, you know, how do we reconcile those two things? So anyway, I've been dwelling in this thing about appreciation, gratitude, asking about it, talking about it, having conversations. And if you've listened to the show, you know, we've had this conversation.
Right.
I've had morning meditations about gratitude and appreciation and feeling them out. And how does one feel in the body versus the other feeling in the body? And then yesterday, really out of the blue, this came to something came to me experientially, like an opening that I had never, it didn't connect it until it happened. And I was standing at the Chihuly Glass Museum over at the Seattle Center, which I have never been to. You know, I have friends in town from out of town, so I was doing touristy things with them. And I was like, let's go to the Chihuly. I was great. Let's go to the Chihuly Museum. Let's check it out. I've never been there. And it's fucking amazing.
It is amazing. Yeah.
It's amazing. I mean, this guy, there's the first exhibit just is stuck with me. The native baskets. He's blown glass that is soft. It's just, it look, they, it's like, what? It's unbelievable. He's unbelievable. It's,
yeah.
You can't do that with glass. Anyway,
yeah.
I was very much standing there looking at these pieces in appreciation for the amount of effort and work and intention and joy and love and passion and creativity and skill and vision and the amount of humanity expressed in it was incredible. And I was standing there and appreciating all of that. And I noticed that I had no particular experience of gratitude about it. That appreciation was not connected to gratitude for me in that moment. Like I could be there and appreciate it fully and not have the experience of gratitude. It wasn't like I wasn't grateful for it or like I couldn't get myself grateful for it and build up the experience of gratitude. It'd be fairly easy to do standing in that much appreciation for it, but it just wasn't connected. And that's the first time I ever had a real clarity about, okay, appreciation and gratitude are not connected. Appreciation for sure is not connected to gratitude. Like if I'm standing in appreciation, I don't necessarily have the experience of gratitude. And then so that was just, I don't know what else to say about it because I had been dwelling in this question about what's the difference between the two. And all of a sudden I have the physical experience of, oh, I can have this experience, this very clear experience of appreciation and not have an experience of gratitude. And there was just nothing unclear about it for me. Like, oh, that's cool. Now, I don't know that that's earth shattering or anyone else gives a shit about it. Or like, I'm not trying to, you know, tell you, I just found the answer to, you know, answer or something. But for me, it was a profound moment. Like, oh, I have been asking this question.
Yeah.
And here is actually an answer that I hadn't expected. So I thought that was.
And you could not have scheduled that moment on your calendar. You probably could not have choreographed it. Like, you know, if I just have these things, I'll create an experience for me that will reveal. If I just do ayahuasca, I'll get the answer of appreciation versus gratitude. You know, you just can't choreograph. And you didn't, by the way, you didn't need plant medicine to have that moment. I mean, that's another thing. Sometimes we think I need to get into an altered state to have the revelation, and you don't. You had it in Chihuly,
Yeah.
but no, no plant, no plant medicine was required.
Nope. Nope. Just, well, I, you know.
Or maybe was there maybe
Well,
a pre-funk? Was
caffeine.
there a pre-funk to the Chihuly thing?
I always start my day with plant medicine.
Oh man, well maybe that's okay. Well, and let's cut to the mid-roll. This episode is brought to you by
Coffee, Aaron's
coffee.
favorite plant medicine.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah,
Oh
I don't
god.
know. I think if you're not counting coffee and tobacco and whiskey as plant medicine, you're doing it wrong, folks, because those
I
are
start every morning
all
with
native
whiskey.
plants. Those are that's fucking plant medicine. You know, get your get off
Yeah.
your fucking hipster horse there and
Yeah.
pour yourself an Irish coffee and have a cig in the morning
That's
and go.
hilarious.
You are enjoying plant medicine. You just
Oh god. I love that.
you
Hey, I
all
would say
all right, anyway.
I do think like what I the relevance I hear, whether you're you listening to this are interested in the distinction between appreciation and gratitude, or you have some other thing that you've been chewing on for months, and I what I'm present to is just the power of dwelling in the space for the answer to reveal itself, and that takes a mindful
Yeah.
intention.
And a cultivating of the soil for it, which I think, Chris, you pointed to brilliantly in the beginning, is those existing environment in which we dwell, you
Oh,
already
yeah.
know, like this is a concrete jungle. There is no soil. It's, you
Mm-hmm.
know, it's figure it out. Let's go. Let's move. I got this blog post due this hour. I got to write this book. I got to get this done. There's
Yeah.
no life as art.
Dude, I want to say this too, because I what's so I've organized my life for others. Finding their what we're calling now true east, right? But finding the thing you say, this my life would be worth doing this with. I would do this with my life to be the change I want to see in the world. I would set my life up and build a container to hold this work. And what I'm noticing lately, this week, last week specifically, is the amount of people who are asking those kinds of existential questions, but feeling the dread or the fear of I don't know how I'm gonna make it happen.
Yeah.
So the hustle, the patience to dwell in something is not present for them because they're too afraid of how they would make it work. So they don't suffer financially, or they don't have, some breakdown, or they don't look like an idiot to their family. And yet, this kind of work requires your willingness to dwell without a deadline, with no promise of an answer coming tomorrow by five.
Right. Yeah, and to really just be willing to engage. And then, Chris, I think the thing here's where, because we haven't gotten to cooking. So, part of this whole thing of dwelling in gratitude and appreciation and really wondering about started with a real commitment to take apart gratitude. Like, how do you live a grateful life in the fucked up world that we live in, right? Which includes the hustle culture and wars, pestilence, famine, greed. It's the 45-second news cycle. The whole, are we really Thelma and Louise driving off a cliff in terms of climate change? Is this what, how does one find a grateful life in all of this? And why are you even interested in a grateful life? Like, what's even the attraction to it? So there's all that context that I've been dwelling in and asking about, and that's what I would. That's certainly east for me, right? Is having those. It's interesting and it's east and it's where I want to go and it's. And I would love to be able to fucking hammer that out and, write that out and have that be done and move on to whatever's next. There's an enormous pull for that. And that's not the way that works. So I've been dwelling in all of that. And one of the things I started with in that was, well, maybe gratitude is like the center of a village or center of a town, and there are different doors, gates that one walks through. Like I pretty I was the, where really how this whole thing really sort of lit fire or got confusing for me anyway was I was pretty sure that gratitude was a function of choice. I was flat for myself. Like was where I started was like gratitude's a function of choice. You can choose to be grateful or not. You know, and you can totally up to you and you're welcome to or not. And if but if you're not going to choose it, you're always going to have something to not be grateful for. You're always going to have something you worry about. It's not
Sure,
never
yeah.
gonna, that was it. That was a moment of insight that started this really for me. It was a moment of insight at a tantric retreat with Kale. I was like, oh, I'm in this really blissful place, blissful state. And I noticed that I was worried about something. And I thought, oh, well, that's funny. I will always have something I could worry about. Like I could worry about it. And that was another sort of physical turning point, experiential moment for me. Like, oh, yeah, I am never going to have nothing to, I could worry about. It's never going to happen. There's no, I have kids.
Yeah, right.
So I know I could always worry about them. And I could also always choose to be grateful in the same way. I could choose that. And I was really flat about that. And then I ran into Jeff and had this great conversation at the course where he was talking about gratitude and he was talking about humility. Like you don't get the gratitude but through humility was the assertion that, you know, humility is the act that until one is humbled by something, that gratitude's not really available. And I started to dwell on that. I was like, oh, well, I thought it was choice. Maybe it's this thing, humility. Maybe Jeff's right. Maybe. And then I started thinking, okay, well, maybe it's a multifaceted situation that gratitude is actually complex and not a function of one thing only.
Yeah.
Because what else makes it up? And I was thinking about it like a city with doors, and you get through it through humility, or you get through it through choice, or certainly being present. If you're not present,
Right,
you can put
right.
either, right? Presence is worn. And then I was thinking about it like, okay, well, maybe it's not those kind of doors, right? Maybe it's like the blind. The elephant and the five blind men, which is a Buddhist
Right.
metaphor for you know, someone, there's five blind men around an elephant, and one of them's touching the side and says that an elephant is like a flat wall, and the other's holding its
Trunk.
trunk and saying that it's like a snake, and the other's holding its leg and saying it's a tree trunk, on and on, right? And each one is accurate, but doesn't have the full picture.
Right,
So you
right.
could say gratitude's a function of humility, but you don't have the full picture.
Yeah, right. I like that.
And then as of then when I shared this with you, when I shared this with Chris this morning, and again, I think this is both a function of dwelling in something long enough and being in a committed conversation with others where you are safe to share
Yeah.
and explore, because there's one thing to have the experience for yourself, but another thing when it gets worked out, and I really do mean it's one thing for you and another thing out here. And something opens up when it's out here, which is why I love these calls and what we're doing and how we're building something to give people the opportunity out here to see something.
Right, exactly.
So as we were sharing that, as I was sharing that with you, it occurred to me like, okay, well, I can have appreciation, but not gratitude. Clearly, I can because I did.
At the Chihuly thing, right?
That's the Julie thing. I had appreciation with no gratitude. It wasn't a necessary component of gratitude. I mean, of appreciation. Gratitude was not a necessary component of appreciation. But I don't think I've ever had gratitude without appreciation. I don't know where gratitude lives absent appreciation. And that's where cooking came in, because we thought, okay, maybe the better metaphor is, all right, if I'm cooking gratitude, right? If I'm out to create the space of gratitude, I got to add a little appreciation, some humility. I got to add some humility. Got to add some choice, right? Some being present,
presence,
awareness needs to be in there, right? Because without those things, you're not cooking up gratitude. And if I wanted appreciation, I think appreciation is an ingredient on its own. I mean, there may be things, you may need presence, and there may be more to distinguish about all this, but the shift in metaphors sort of clicked for me. I was like, okay. Because really the book is how to live a grateful life in a fucked up world. And that was something else I was sort of dealing with. Oh, and it's funny because I picked up this in the gift shop, right? Exit through the gift shop. You exit the museum through the gift shop. As one does. And there was a little kid's book, New York Times bestseller about what do you do with an idea? That's super cute, super great. Sort of not Maurice Sendak-y, but Maurice Sendak-y, not radically different. I think whoever wrote it would appreciate the reference. And it was, this little kid taking its idea around, and the idea gets made fun of, and whatever. It's a super it's a kid's book. It's not, I mean, big picture.
Yeah, sounds awesome. I want to read it.
It's awesome. It's fucking awesome. Yeah. And I've often thought about what form is how to live a grateful life in a fucked up world going to take. And would it be a, short 20 pager, coffee table, little book like that. And I was thinking, I was thinking about this, the importance of it being a how-to. More direction-oriented, right? Than it would be sort of conceptually interesting.
Right.
What I still don't know the form the book's going to take. I'm dwelling in that. But that stumbling across that kid's book open that up too, and I'm now just had the thought, okay, well, what if I did it like a cookbook, like here are the ingredients that you need, and and I could do it as a cookbook and then have the preamble be half as long as the preambles on one of those recipes, any recipe that I want to make for dinner. Like if it was half as long, fucking book,
scroll,
hey, gut ingredient list. I don't need to know the history of people who cooked this in medieval England. I just don't.
Yeah.
Not interested. Get me to the ingredient.
Yeah. Great.
So anyway, I've thought about doing this kid's book. And if there's someone who wants to illustrate that book, let me know. Because I think the key on those books is someone really needs the vision of the illustration.
I like the idea, side note, of like maybe a Harold and the Purple Crayon type of thing, only maybe it's Aaron and the Blue Crayon or Aaron and the Blue Marker. I don't know. Like,
I'm not certainly not getting that close to ripping off Harold because, I mean, Harold's my guy.
Hey, it's, McDonald's and McDowell's.
You know Harold, right?
I think I saw that. I don't know. You posted that, right?
Yeah.
I think I saw that.
Well, the whole Cottywampel, this whole world that we're building, Chris, is inside Harold and the Purple Crayon. I mean, it really is.
Just
a crayon for a walk. That was really one of the first metaphors we ever had for this, what we're doing. Actually, now we go back.
Full
just
circle.
Taking a crayon for a walk and seeing where it goes.
Harold is the OG of Cottywampel, man.
He really is the OG.
He is a freaking Cottywampler. That's what he is. Harold the Cottywampler.
Hey, the OG Cottywampler. Yes. Everyone
awesome.
Loves him. Yeah, very cool. I mean, that's where that so just inside the project aspect, you pointed to this. I think it's useful to underline it is, look, you could really be interested in gratitude as well, and that's great. And I want to hear from you if you are, because that's a project I'm building, and I don't know, I'm just fascinated by it and want to move in that direction. But bigger picture, you're interested in something. You know, if you're listening, you're up to something.
Right.
You know, what is it? And do you have you given yourself the space to dwell in it and ask the questions without demanding an answer? but continue to ask until the answer shows up in your experience, not as a figured it out.
Out of curiosity, if just from your experience, there you found that you were dwelling in the question yourself on your own. You went to Chihuly with others, but it wasn't like you were, hey, yeah, let's have a field trip and have a conversation about gratitude and appreciation. You were doing that on your own. And at the same time, you and I have these conversations every week where we're talking about gratitude and mindfulness and things. And so there's a, I'm wondering if for you, there is a related relationship between the conversations we have in a space like this and the work you're dwelling in on your own. Like, do they?
Well, I think if I'm not here every week, right, then I don't have any real press to, this is good. Okay. So real press is a definite holdover from the force field hustle culture, right? Like a real press to produce results, right?
Yeah, right.
At the same time, no press doesn't work. The answer is not, this goes back to the thing about Esther Hicks we were talking about pre-show or anything else. Like, it's not, the answer is not just do anything. Just right. Just do nothing.
Right.
Marie Kondo, right? We talk about that in the intro for the mastermind. Answer is not Marie Kondo. It's like, just throw out everything that doesn't spark joy. I mean, that's fine. I got no problem with that. But there is a level of intentionality and discipline that mindfulness calls for.
Yeah.
Even, and not even though, and it's non-judgmental, it's kind, it's not striving.
Yeah. Right.
And there's a discipline to it. And those words don't seem to go together.
Yeah.
Right? There's a level, but you know, we don't just allow the mind, in any kind of mindfulness, forget about meditation, but mindfulness is being in the present moment on purpose. Yeah. You know, on purpose, like you're intentionally doing something, which means you are carving out space from the existing reality. And I just think that's important to note, because you know, if we're not doing it on purpose, we got a problem. And you're not doing it. You're just not doing it. Your mind's just gonna wander and you're gonna wind up trying to figure shit out and doing what the mind does.
I feel like for me, the thing that is, I don't have peer-reviewed studies of this, and I don't have like my data set. There's just an intuition and an experience of being in a collective conversation makes the dwelling easier. It makes the, what did you call it? You didn't say push. Do you say push?
Press.
Press. It makes the pressing into a direction and a result in a mindful way, the collective conversation for me in community adds something to the press. Cause I tried to press mindfully on my own for a while. And that gave me a particular result. It's fine. Great. And I just noticed there's something else here in a collective conversation that adds to the cooking. It adds to the oven temperature. I don't know. It makes it differently.
Well, there's a couple things. Yeah. First of all, there's definitely a different energy, you know, when I sit with people versus sit by yourself, right? Practice meditation, definitely. No one would argue that those are the same.
Yeah.
They're different. I don't think anyone argues one's better than the other. They're just different. And it's great to get that difference, because otherwise you just wind up with one view.
Yeah.
And there's many views, multiple views, and there's different kinds of meditation and there's different kinds of practices. And opening yourself up to the variety is important. But then there's also the thing, and I think, Chris, this is for a whole separate show, whole separate conversation, and we can save it in the list of things that we're never going to get to. But, you know, you charged me last week with something. This is not on the podcast. This was just individual Chris's.
Yeah.
We're building the mastermind together and whatever. But Chris was, you know, pointed out appropriately, one way to say it, held me to account, another way to say it, offered for me an opportunity, all three ways of saying the exact same thing. And I really don't, you know, side note, sidebar.
Sidebar.
Finding the right words for something is all we have. It's not even important. It's literally all we have. We are language-based beings, or we're nothing. And without being responsible for the words that we choose to use to create, without being responsible for the words we choose to use that create our reality, we wind up living in someone else's reality, or reality, like it's somehow independent of the words that we've chosen to use to describe it, as if our words were only describing reality. I mean, you and I are both born out of that connection between words create the world, don't, and describe the world. They do both.
Right.
There's certain things they create and there's certain things they describe. And if you get those two things confused, you have no power.
Mm-hmm.
You keep living at the effect of things that you are actually creating with your words. So when I say Chris gave me an opportunity to see something, or he held me to account, those could mean the same thing, right? So they do mean the same thing to me, but you want to find the ones that empower you. But Chris offered me a chance to see how I was operating that was inconsistent with the results that I wanted to produce and what was going to be necessary for me in terms of acting in a new way, which I wouldn't have the opportunity to do if I was only listening to myself, which is one of the powers of being in a group. You knew I'd get back to group at some point, right? That the opportunity to be in a group is the opportunity for another to point you in a direction that you weren't going to go by yourself. And that direction is where the next step is for you, is where the next lesson is where the next piece of fruit is, or whatever you want to find down that road. But there are plenty of times where I won't go there by myself, that I need another's reflection or press.
Yeah.
You know, push. I think that was even the word that I said, keep pushing me.
Mm-hmm.
You said, well, you could push yourself, right? Uh-huh. I found annoying, but act valid and difference making. So there's that level of.
Yeah. Yeah.
That, there's that thing that community provides, which we could explore in a whole podcast.
Yeah, for sure. And which I think we're setting up. And you know, I think the intent, the space we're holding when we launched this Mindful CEO Mastermind is that very thing, you know, like it's the space to dwell in a paradox. It's the space to dwell with your question. It's the space to dwell in such a way that stuff shows up for you that otherwise on your own wouldn't have shown up.
Yeah.
And it adds something to the press. It adds something to the direction as you head east, as you head towards that thing that you say your life is for, you're getting access to things you otherwise wouldn't have access to on your own.
Yeah.
And that's why we're creating it. It's like, it's that thing I feel so deeply and so true. And it's like, for those who want peer-reviewed studies of like, well, where's your data set? I'm like, look, man, I don't have the data set, at least not yet. Like what I have right now is my lived experience and my noticing. What I'm noticing is like, this makes a difference for me.
Yeah.
And it sounds like it makes a difference for you. And that's why Aaron and I are inviting you all to check it out. Yeah.
Great. All right, good.
Yeah.
All right, excellent. I appreciate the opportunity, Chris, again. And for everyone else who wants to check out the mastermind, go to
mindfulceo.com/invite gets you directly to the application page where there's a video of Aaron and I explaining more about the community or just sort of giving you an experience of what it's like, which by the way, side note, Aaron, sidebar is every conversation we have together on the podcast really is an example of an experience of, you know, being in a dialogue together. So you've listened to any episode.
Yeah, and listen to any episode. And then really even just today, this whole thing with appreciation and gratitude is inside a project that I've created called Writing This Book. And that, you know, is one of the things. And we've created 2024. I've created 2024 as the year of execution. Mm-hmm. Nice. Getting shit done.
Yeah.
But getting it done mindfully without the hustle culture.
So good.
Love that.
All right, friend. All right, that's great. Love it. Thank you. Thanks for sharing. Peace.
Peace.